So just in our first reading, we've been hearing the story of Abram. And then today we have, this is the first covenant that God makes with Abram, who will become Abraham, our father in faith. And we have that beautiful line, it was his faith that he credited to him as an act of righteousness. So when we go forward to the letter to the Hebrews, when the author, probably St. Paul, goes to that great length in chapter 11 to talk about the faith of Abraham, this is the beginning of it being manifest. We heard that he was called and he went to a land that was not revealed to him. He's been growing in faith and in confidence. And then today he makes this covenant. God makes a covenant with him. And so when we hear about God being loving and merciful, all those sincere words, those gentle words describing God from the Old Testament, they have to do with the fact that he is faithful to his covenant. That's what the word means, that he loves us, that he will never deny the covenant. And the response to our psalm says this, right? The Lord remembers his covenant forever. And then we know that we gather around the altar each day for Holy Mass, it was to celebrate the new covenant made in the blood of Jesus, not the blood of the animals, but the blood of Jesus. And he remembers this covenant forever. And to remember is not just to think about an event that happened in the past, but as we remember a covenant, that covenant is renewed. We can imagine with G-rated language, when a married couple renews their covenant, it's a reenactment, it's making it new, it's fulfilling it once again. It's not simply remembering the vows they made so many years ago. When the Lord remembers his covenant, it's made new. And the covenant isn't made new to us each morning, each day on the holy altar. Then we continue through the Sermon on the Mount with a warning that Jesus gives us today. And we think back to Monday when we had do not judge, right? And so if we can't judge, then how can we be aware of false prophets? How can we distinguish good fruit from bad fruit? So as I said on Monday, we can't read those words as the secular media and the secularists try to impose upon us today. But beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. It's a constant warning, a constant theme in the Gospels and in the New Testament, and even in our life today, as we see so many branches off of the one true church, but sadly, even within the one true church, we have to be discerning. Is what's being taught conform to what has always been taught? The faith handed on to us from the apostles through the bishops. And we judge it by the fruit. And there's a warning for us in there as well, is that trees don't produce fruit automatically. And sometimes if you see wild berries, those bushes look like weeds, look like they should be thrown away. But if you're patient, they end up producing good fruit. So we ought not be so quick to condemn and want to eradicate things in our midst that don't seem to be just as we would like them. We wait for the fruit. Remember, Jesus also said that the wheat and the weeds grow up together. And so we don't want to be so quick to condemn. But is what's being taught in conformity with what has always been taught? Or is there some new teaching trying to be imposed upon us? This is the constant fight of the saints of the church. The saints always fighting to hold fast to the tradition as passed on to us through the scriptures, through oral tradition, and through the defined dogma and doctrine of the church. And so St. Irenaeus, the great saint that we celebrate today, one who Pope Francis declared a doctor just recently, a doctor of unity. Irenaeus was born in the East in modern-day Turkey, and he migrated to what's modern-day France in Lyon, and France is where he was a bishop. You can go to the church where he was. But he fought, he wrote a letter, a writing called Against Heresies. And the main heresy he was fighting is the heresy of Gnosticism. What's that? Gnosticism taught that there was this special knowledge that only a few people were able to attain. And that was what was really true. and that the things that we have in our teachings and in our sacraments are just merely symbols that don't really mean anything. Because they have a split, a dichotomy, a bifurcation between body and spirit. And they, and to the extreme, they would say that the material world is not good. It's not real. It's just an image. What is really real is the spiritual. Is that the mind takes us to the highest truths. God created the world. It is very good. God took on human flesh. So just those two facts have to tell us that the world is good, that material creation is good. And so we can't make a false split between the two. And we believe in the resurrection of the body, that at the end of the time, our bodies will be reunited with our souls. And so it's a constant fight all throughout the new church, all throughout church history. In these last 2,000 years, this comes up again and again. The body is bad, all bad, and only the spirit is good. We're fighting that battle today when people are trying to change their bodies because it doesn't really match who they really are. Who they really are is this fantastic, phantasmal, spiritual reality separated from their physical reality. Can you see how it's just the same manifestation again and again, now being taken to the very extreme? It's all denial of the truth. Of the truth handed on to us from the apostles, through the early church fathers, through the catechism and the teachings of the church today. And so we need to know the faith. We need to study our catechism, study the teachings, study the writings of the early church fathers. So when these sheep, these false sheep come, these wolves dressed as sheep come and tickle our ear with new ideas, we can always have something, which is really someone, the truth of Jesus Christ, to fall back upon. St. Irenaeus lived in the second century. He was a disciple of St. Polycarp. St. Polycarp was a disciple of St. John the Beloved, the one who wrote the gospel, the one who wrote the letters in the New Testament. And so this man was writing from almost firsthand, but secondhand experience of an encounter with Jesus. Our faith is so alive. Our faith is so rich. And so we ask St. Irenaeus today to give us a true faith, the faith that can be counted as an act of righteousness, that as we humbly surrender to what Christ has taught us through Holy Mother Church, then one day we too will become saints.